Adam Schein Podcast.
Ah, yes, episode 20 of the Adam Schein Podcast, and we are extra fired up to be with you. We've got a tremendous guest on the podcast this week. One of the best players in the NFL playing on Championship Sunday, the heart and soul of the Tennessee Titans defense, second-year star linebacker Rashawn Evans, who has had an amazing, amazing season and an extraordinary postseason. We'll talk to him about stopping Lamar Jackson, the goal line stands, and what they did against Tom Brady, being Mike Vrabel's first ever draft pick, and the challenge that lies ahead going up against my guy Patty Mahomes and the Juggernaut Chiefs and Arrowhead coming up this weekend. So Rashawn Evans going to join us, Mikey Fitz and Bob Stew with me as always. We'll pick the games against the spread coming up as well. Couple of takes that I want to hit you over the head with in terms of Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson hates, the legend of Patty Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers is Michael Jordan. How's that as a way to whet the appetite here on the Adam Schein Podcast? First and foremost, we're taping at exactly 2:10 Eastern Time on a Tuesday, so we're all still fatigued after being up all night watching that incredible Joe Burrow show in the national title game. And congrats to Ed Ogeron and LSU winning the national title in college football. Joe Burrow is going to be a great NFL quarterback. He's going number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. Even the Bengals can't screw this one up. Joe Burrow, Northeast Ohio native, and he is going to be the new face of the franchise. And you might even say there are quarterbacks with more upside. Trevor Lawrence, Tua, if he's healthy. Joe Burrow is going to be a star in the NFL, and he is going to do the impossible. He's going to make the Cincinnati Bengals relevant and competent right away. I firmly believe that. His arm strength makes every throw, his fundamentals, his pocket awareness. Joe Burrow's a stud. He is an absolute stud. And I think that Cincinnati doesn't have to be that bad next year. Joe Mixon is one of the best running backs in the NFL. Remember Jonah Williams, their first-round pick, the offensive tackle at Alabama? He didn't even play a down. It got hurt in the offseason. Obviously, they fouled up the A.J. Green trade. They should have traded him, sold high, got a first-round pick for him. Listen, they could still franchise him and trade him now, which would make a ton of sense, unless, miraculously, A.J. Green wants to stay in Cincinnati. But I am absolutely buying Joe Burrow as a pro, buying him as a Bengal. Look, that organization is screwed up from the top bottom for Mike Brown. That's where it starts. They're notoriously cheap. I don't care. Joe Burrow is going to be the right guy at the right time for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I can't wait for it. Trevor Lawrence did not play well in the championship by his own lofty standards. But make no mistake, even though passes and balls were sailing high and LSU's defense was fantastic, Trevor Lawrence is one of the three best prospects at the quarterback position since the 80s. It's John Elway, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, in terms of what they did on Saturday and how they grade for Sunday. And nothing's changed. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be the Heisman favorite next year. And Trevor Lawrence is going number one overall in 2021. And there are going to be teams that are rightly going to tank for Trevor. I mean, can you imagine if the Jaguars got Trevor Lawrence? Or if Carolina signed Marcus Mariota, which would be the equivalent of in Curb Your Enthusiasm when the producers cast Larry David as the star because they want it off Broadway? I mean, that would be the perfect way to tank, and Matt Rhule could still set a foundation. He'd be great for Carolina. I still think Miami's going to draft Tua at 5, and they could even be in the mix, though, for the number one overall pick. Trevor Lawrence is that kind of special talent. Nothing has changed. The over-the-top Lamar Jackson hate from Saturday night was ridiculous. First and foremost, you credit the Tennessee Titans. They knocked the stuffing out of the Baltimore Ravens. Unpredictable fashion, but give Baltimore all the credits in the world. Give Tennessee all the credit in the world. What they did was next level. The Mark Ingram injury, to me, was factor number two. He didn't practice Tuesday, Wednesday, got 6 carries in the game. And anyone who's actually watched the Ravens this year, you know that Mark Ingram was a gigantic factor in what they do on offense and the balance that helped Lamar. Mark Andrews needed to catch that first pass, went off his hands for an interception, and that changed the entire complexion of the game. Lamar Jackson just had a remarkable season for the ages. Rightly, he's going to be the MVP. I'm one of the 50 voters. I voted him MVP. Lamar Jackson is going to bounce back from this. He didn't play great, but it wasn't all his fault. I blame Harbaugh more than I blame Jackson. There was 20 days in between last real action for the Baltimore Ravens. Some questionable time management, timeout usage at the end of the second quarter. You know, didn't work on fourth and one for the twice in that game. First time that's happened all year long for Baltimore. I think a lot of people just sadly and erroneously wanted to pounce on Lamar. I find it rather disturbing, in a lot of ways, depending upon the language used, disgusting. And I think Lamar Jackson, absolutely great. And you know what they're going to do in Baltimore next year? Run it back. Absolutely, positively run it back. That is going to be the mindset for the Baltimore Ravens. This combination with Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh together, they will absolutely eventually win a championship. Topic number four. The legend of Patty Mahomes. It's Patty Mahomes' world, and we're just living in it. The fact that Patty Mahomes, who you know I am ridiculously obsessed with, the fact that he led the Kansas City Chiefs to a win like he did on the divisional round weekend, down 24 points, first team in NFL history to be down 20 and win by 20, I mean, it's next level genius. But this is what you expect from Patty Mahomes. What did I say before the playoffs started? He's the quarterback I want on my team. I'm obsessed with Rodgers, voted Lamar MVP. Patty's the guy. It's always Patty Mahomes. I said it on our first podcast. I said it before on the podcast where the playoffs started. Chiefs are my pick to win the Super Bowl because of Patty Mahomes. And I think that what Mahomes just did in the divisional rounds to come back from a 24-0 deficit, he's Houdini meets John Elway. He is next level special. He is a one-of-a-kind kind of talent, leader, and unbelievable ball player. How about he's on that sideline? CBS cameras caught him. Be special. Telling his teammates, imploring them to be special. That's the genius of our guy, Patty Mahomes. And I think Tennessee is absolutely legit. They've proven it all season, all postseason. So disrespect to them or San Francisco or Green Bay, nobody is beating Patty Mahomes. And I oftentimes get knocked because people don't listen. It's really an underrated skill. I try to tell that to my kids. You got to be able to listen. Just pay attention. Aaron Rodgers is Michael Jordan. Not when it comes to championships. I'm not talking about jewelry or rings. That's not the conversation. It's wow. Can't believe he just did that kind of moments. Making plays that only a few players who have ever walked the face of the earth, if any others, can make. And that's why I have forever on radio, on Shine on Sports, on TV, on Time to Shine, compared Aaron Rodgers to Michael Jordan. And it all stemmed from that Dallas playoff game, the divisional round a couple of years ago. And I've talked to Aaron about that. That throw to Devontae Adams was Jordan-esque. Over 30 yards, third down, dropped it in the bucket. That's when I compare Aaron Rodgers to Michael Jordan. Oh, we have a tremendous interview coming up with the heart and soul of the Tennessee Titans. Their star linebacker, the great Rashawn Evans, joins us next on the Adam Schein Podcast.
Shine on Sports with Adam Schein.
Patty Mahomes is on a different level. Who's the best player in the NFL? Answer Patty Mahomes. Who did I say was the best quarterback in the NFL postseason going into the playoffs? Patty Mahomes. Who's going to be the quarterback who hoists the Lombardi Trophy? The answer is Patty Mahomes. It's Patty Mahomes' world, and we're just living in it.
Shine on Sports. Weekdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Sirius XM Channel 82.
Joining us right now, star linebacker from the Tennessee Titans. What a season, what a postseason he's had. My guy, team leader, the great Rashawn Evans. Rashawn, it's Adam Schein. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm outstanding. I really am outstanding, but not doing as well as you. And let me tell you something. This postseason, this season for you, it has been something special. There's so much I want to talk to you about. But first and foremost, let's start with what happened against the Baltimore Ravens. Because literally, nobody has stopped Lamar Jackson all year. So I ask you seriously, how the heck did you guys stop Lamar Jackson?
I would say, really, man, I mean, Coach Vrabel, he did an amazing job of giving us keys on, you know, just making him going lateral. That was really the main thing, making him go lateral. We knew that when he got vertical, we knew he could eat up grass just as fast as anybody in the league. And, you know, just really just making sure you almost really gain tackle and just making sure you maintain him. Not being too aggressive as far as being a tackle on him at times, but if you did get a chance, you know, to, you know, hit him, you had to punish him. So just those little things, man, just making sure that we – and number one thing, really just doing your job. Don't do anything different that you did all season. So don't – really, we didn't change anything, and I feel like that's the reason why we was able to win.
I love that. And the other thing that I think from Saturday night that needs to be asked, because, again, it's unprecedented, literally no team in the entire league stopped the Baltimore Ravens on 4th-and-1. You did it twice. I mean, they are the best in the business when it comes to those short yardage situations, the analytics, rolling the dice. How did you guys do that?
Really, man, it was really – I feel like it was a lot to do with, like, our mindset, too, as well. The defense, we felt like we could – we knew we had to play our best games going against an offense like this. I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson is an exceptional athlete. I mean, just let alone off his speed alone. I mean, I feel like he's one of the fastest guys in the league. But just the fact on our mindset, we feel like, you know, we just did our job and played physical. We knew we could come out of this game with a win.
You know, I love it. A couple of references to do your job, Mike Vrabel. I think he is an absolute gem of a head coach. Just sensational. Obviously played the game, played it brilliantly, won championships. What's it like, Rashawn, playing for somebody like Mike Vrabel? How does he, week in, week out, put you guys in position to be successful?
Man, I just feel like your head coach's mindset and, you know, attitude and how he approaches the game itself, I feel like I think the team almost has the same identity as, you know, how the coach approaches the game as well. And I mean, anybody that knows him, you know, he's a hard nosed guy. I mean, he feels like at the very minimum of how you play the game, it should always be physicality. And you know, I feel like that's what we have adopted on the team. And you know, I feel like we do that not only just on defense, but on offense as well. And it seems like it's working for us. So, but just the fact that he has that type of mindset, it makes players want to, you know, play for him. Makes players want to go out there and, you know, do all the things that, you know, he asks for us to do as far as the keys and all the things that he gives us at the beginning of the week. And, you know, too, when you're successful at it, too, it gives you that confirmation that, you know, what he's saying is actual facts. Too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just that in general, man, you know, you get, I have a lot of respect for him because he's not only just a guy that just talks the talk, but he walks the walk. I mean, the dude, he goes out there, straps on a pad and practices with us. I mean, what more could you ask for in a coach? I mean, the dude doing everything he could possibly do to really coach every position and also physically do it as well. So, I mean, I feel like it's paying off for him.
Do you feel an extra, maybe sense of responsibility, pride, whatever it is, being Mike Vrabel's first ever draft pick with the Tennessee Titans?
I'll be honest with you, man, the only word I can tell you is blessed. I feel blessed. Just the simple fact of how my career began and how I was able to, you know, for them to be able to trade up and get me, man. And, you know, they saw something in me that, you know, the other teams didn't see. And, you know, the fact that, you know, they traded up and got me and took a chance on me and they believed in my ability to be able to, you know, help this team win. You know, it's an amazing feeling for me, man. I'm truly blessed to really have that opportunity now to really showcase exactly why they drafted me. So, you know, all I can do right now, man, is stay neutral, stay focused on the task at hand, you know, be where my feet are and, you know, just continue to keep playing at a high level so that I can give my team, you know, the best chance to win.
And the postseason's the ultimate showcase, and you and your teammates deserve all the accolades, what you did in Baltimore, and Rashawn, what you did the week before. I mean, 10 tackles for you against New England, the defense, the entire unit flying around. You had the part of those goal line stands making plays just dominant when they were trying to punch it in and, you know, change the complexion of that game. You know, that must have been a fascinating week leading up. Vrabel, former Patriot, you're facing Brady, Belichick in Foxborough. Look, I picked you guys. I felt like I was the only person doing that, picking you guys to win outright in New England. What was the mindset and then the execution in beating the Patriots and maybe, just maybe, putting an end to that dynasty?
It was really, man, just on the fact that we knew we were going into a hostile environment. We knew that, you know, these guys were going to game plan. Their game plan was going to be at its peak. And also, too, just the fact that some of the stuff is kind of similar as far as how we run our operations. It's kind of the same. So, I mean, I feel like both teams kind of knew each other pretty well. But, you know, just in the fact, though, you got to go on a roll. You're back against the wall. Everybody's expecting you to lose. It just puts you in a different mindset, man. And I feel like, you know, us, we like that, man. I feel like we like to be able to have the opportunity to go and, you know, face a challenge like that and be able to, you know, showcase our ability. And, you know, we're just going to continue to keep doing what we've been doing, man. And, you know, the greatest thing about it is that you get to do it with a great group of guys that, you know, I feel like, you know, have been amazing to me, especially me coming into the league. Learning all the things I've learned from a lot of these older guys that have, you know, done it for, you know, almost 10 plus years. It's something that I've tried to, you know, use in my game, and I feel like it's paying off too as well. So, you know, just the fact that you got guys in the locker room willing to, you know, make younger guys better, willing to, you know, kind of just bite the bullet on certain things for the team to win. You know, it rubs off on everybody in the organization. I feel like that alone is kind of, you know, transitioning onto the field. So, whatever we're doing, I think we need to continue to keep doing it, man.
Oh, that chemistry is certainly evident on game day. There's no question about it. So, the playoff run starts with Tom Brady. Then it's Lamar Jackson. We're talking about the greatest of all time. We're talking about the league MVP. Oh, by the way, I'd make the case you have the best quarterback in the league coming up on Sunday, on Championship Sunday. I mean, no rest for the weary, Rashawn, in terms of the quarterbacks you're going to face. Now, you faced Mahomes earlier in the season. What's the challenge going up against someone as electrifying as Patty Mahomes?
Man, he's just got to, like I said, I feel like right now the main thing is really truly to keep doing what you've been doing. Don't change anything at this point. You know, it's real easy to go and change something when, you know, stage continues to get bigger and bigger, the lights continue to get brighter and brighter, and the media continues to get, you know, become more and more and more, you know, relevant. I feel like now is the most pivotal time to stay as natural and organic as you could possibly be. And, you know, I feel like now everybody has a really neutral mindset, man, going into this game. And, you know, like I said, the Chiefs, man, are an amazing team. They got skilled guys all over the field. They got Patrick Mahomes, who has a, you know, once in a decade type arm.
Yeah.
You know, it's another challenge. And, you know, this is the reason why you play the game. You want to be able to have an opportunity to be able to play this type of exciting game and go against the you know, the best of the best. And, you know, what better way to do it than an AFC championship?
Now, I mentioned before I picked you guys against New England. I did not pick you guys against Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Was there a moment, and I know it's one game at a time and it's that focus, but was there a moment, Rashawn, during the year or even during the playoffs where you kind of knew, you know what, no matter what's happening on the outside, this group, this team that we have in Tennessee, it's something special and we could make a legit march to Championship Sunday?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I feel like it was like just the whole season. I think it just kind of everything had to happen at the right time. Timing was really everything, man. And you know, it's really important to understand that, you know, it's really not about how you start, it's really how you finish. And I feel like we're peaking at the right time. And, you know, you just got to make sure that, you know, regardless of the outside noise or whatever it is that it may be that's you know, trying to split up the team to make everybody point fingers on when certain stuff goes bad or when, you know, even when certain stuff goes good, it's still, you know, he kind of pick or whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, man, when you know you got guys that are, you know, grown men in the locker room that truly trying to just be the best player they could possibly be and do all the right things they could possibly do to, you know, help this team win, none of that stuff ever matters. Like, be honest with you, like, I don't even, like, hardly even tweet anymore. Like, every now and then I'll keep my Instagram going and all this other stuff, but I've tried to exclude myself from media as much as possible because the only thing I can worry about, the only thing I care about right now is football. Like, I barely even talk to my own family sometimes because I was so locked in to these games, man. I feel like it's like that with a lot of guys, man. And, you know, it just means a lot right now to be able to have this opportunity because a lot of guys I've heard never really get this chance, let alone even in the playoffs. So,
it's true.
You know, something to be this close, you know, to, you know, being able to be in a situation where, you know, guys go their whole year. I mean, to go their whole career trying to get to, you know, it's an amazing experience, man. Amazing feeling. And, you know, I feel like now is the best time to see.
You've known Derrick Henry forever going back to Alabama. I mean, Rashawn, I need a thesaurus. He's been the I'm running out of words to describe him. He's been the best player in the postseason this year, bar none, which is not a surprise when you consider that he was able to get a rushing title, and he's physical, he's speedy, he's a great teammate, he's a bull. Yeah. How would you describe him as a runner and what he's meant to your Tennessee Titans?
Man, I would just say just a man on a mission. Like, I feel like he's gotten to the point where it's no longer about, you know, how many carries he gets or, you know, whatever the hell he has to do. I feel like he's just solely focused on, you know, doing his job and helping this team win. And I feel like it's very funny that now people are just now starting to notice his ability and, you know, how great he is when he's been doing it since high school. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, he's doing it. He did it in high school. He did it in college, and now he's in the NFL. So it's very funny how, you know, people are now just being like, oh, well, you know, he's had one good season. No, he's been doing that, like, his whole career that I've known him. So this comes to no surprise that he's a leading rusher in the league and that he's doing numbers in the playoffs. Like, it's kind of, you know, very funny. It's very ironic to me. Very funny that, you know, people are just now being like, oh, you know.
Where you been? This is Derrick Henry.
It's Derrick Henry. Like, I mean, you got to understand. I feel like dude should have been given way more respect than he's been given. Just the fact that I feel like his talent is something that comes once in a decade. I mean, when do you ever see a guy that big run that fast? Like, I mean, you put him against any other running back throughout history, he's literally up there with every big back you could think of. Like, so – I mean, I'm proud of him. He's one a very, very good friend of me, very close friend of me, and you know, it's an amazing feeling when one of your closest friends are having the success that he's having. So, you know, I keep rooting him on to keep doing the same thing he's doing. I was like, if anything, I'm telling him to get. He's getting 40 carries a game. You probably need 80 then.
Hey, don't put it past him. He could probably do it, Rashawn, right?
But you know what's so scary? He is, if there's any running back that you could think of that can do that, he can do it.
I need you to tell me about the Ryan Tannehill story. Because when you guys picked him up, you know, it was a blip, you know, really didn't register with me or anyone else in sports media. And when Ryan stepped in, everything kind of changed. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd make the case that in the regular season, since he took over, he was the second best quarterback in the NFL behind Lamar. If you watch the games, I mean, that feels more like fact than opinion. When did you guys know that this was a different Ryan Tannehill?
Be honest with you, that's a hard question. Because I really didn't know too much of his story at the beginning. I knew he came from the Dolphins. I knew he knew about, you know, the situation with that. But, like, when he came into the facility, like, I knew Ryan. Like, I knew Ryan, not Ryan Tannehill, as you know now. I knew Ryan, like, the guy, the dude.
I get it, yeah.
So, like, it was more of like this dude came in. He didn't try to force anything. He didn't try to just be like, oh, I'm the guy, I'm the leader, I'm going to be the guy that comes halfway in the season and takes you all the way to the AFC Championship. It was more of like I'm going to do my job, and when my name is called, I'm going to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what he did. So for me looking at that, it seems like the guy is, you know, whatever he may have been at the Dolphins, maybe it was just the simple fact that he simply just was on a different team now, and he's using the same ability or using, you know, tweaking just a little something different just to be able to, you know, be good at what he's doing now. I mean, I feel like when a lot of situations like that happen, the guy has always been the same. It might just be the situation or an environment that he was in that could have been that. But other than that, I mean, dude that I know, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is an amazing dude. I mean, I literally have conversations with him when we in the cafeteria about just life in general. So, I mean, just when you got a guy like that at quarterback, I mean, guys, they want to gravitate to somebody like that because he's a, you know, I feel like he's a real stand-up guy. He's not somebody that just, you know, wants to be at the center of attention, wants to be make it about him. He's truly a team guy. So, I mean, guys just naturally gravitate to him, man. I mean, I feel like you get your best leaders like that.
Absolutely. And, look, I don't want to hear anyone say, well, look, he's barely thrown the ball in the postseason. Garbage, as you just said. I mean, Derrick Henry could have 80 carries a game, and it would make all the sense in the world. You know, Ryan's been so tough, so clutch. I mean, that touchdown early in Baltimore to Jonnu Smith was unbelievable. And we haven't even seen this postseason that Tannehill to A.J. Brown connection, which was so dominant for you guys in the regular season.
Oh, no doubt, man. You know, kudos to AJ, man. Him being a rookie and coming in and doing all the things that he's done this year is amazing. You know, he's a guy that truly is he's almost like a workaholic, man. I feel like this dude is one of the hardest working rookies we got too. You know, he's really a real true student of the game. Really loves the game of football. You could just tell that on the football field. And, you know, I feel like he has a defensive mindset as well, the way he runs the ball. I mean, it's very obvious the fact that, you know, when he breaks tackles and, you know, he, you know, goes 40-plus yards into the end zone, I mean, he's not catching to go down. He's catching to score. So, I mean it feels good to know I got a guy on my team that's like that for a fact.
It's amazing when you look at the weapons. You referenced it earlier for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I referenced you played them before, and you had 7 tackles in the game, and you know you were involved in a fumble recovery, and that was obviously a big deal. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, these guys are freaks. How do you plan against them? How do you stop them? How do you contain them?
Man, you gotta be really good tacklers against these guys. I mean, these are all pro type athletes. These guys are the best of the best in the league. I mean, these dudes continue to do this each and every year and each and every week. So, I mean, this is when you get to this point into the career, man, everybody is extremely good. So you got to really be good tackler. You got to really just, you know, just like I said, man, just stay with your game and everything else will handle itself. But, you know, for me to say, oh, we're going to completely stop him and do all this other stuff, that's going too overboard.
Of course.
These guys get paid just like us, if not more. So it's going a little bit too overboard for me to say that, you know, we're going to stop him like that. I mean, these guys are going to make plays. But, you know, and when you get into this type of situation this late in the season, man, it's going to be just smash mouth. Gritty, I mean, fight to the end type, you know, football game. All 4 quarters where guys are, you know, laying their body on the line to win this game, man. You know, these are the type of games I love to play in. These are the type of games you dream about when you're a kid to be able to play in. So I know it's the same over there.
What was it like playing for Nick Saban?
It was amazing. I feel like I learned a lot about, you know, not just about football, but a lot about life, being a man. Taking care of your business, understand that, you know, everything isn't about you, that, you know, this football thing is a lot bigger than, you know, just you, that, you know, when you're done playing, that there are going to be guys that are coming in that are going to be doing this, trying to break your records, trying to do more than what you did, and that it's going to continue to keep going on after you die, too. So, I mean, it's just that those little understandings of knowing that, you know, it's truly a blessing to be able to play this game, to be able to be in the league and be able to have the opportunity to be around, you know, a group of guys and learn about each other and be able to learn how to, you know, just work through different obstacles in life and being able to overcome it. Like, I feel like just me being able to be a part of these championship-type teams, helped me to learn how to, you know, problem solve, how to, you know, work through situations where, you know, it might not be the best, but you still find a way. Because I feel like there's a way to there's a solution to every problem. You just got to figure it out. And, you know, when you're able to do that with a group of guys, I mean, it just makes you that much better of a person. I feel like you build the best character when, you know, you get faced those type of situations. So I was like, I got probably the full circle type, you know, experience when it comes to college when I went to the University of Alabama.
Rashawn, you're the best. Appreciate it. Congratulations on all your success. Best of luck on Championship Sunday. Keep up the outstanding work, my friend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, man.
Rashawn Evans, star of the Tennessee Titans. For more of me, Adam Schein, who doesn't want more me? I love me. You can listen to me on my SiriusXM radio show, Shine on Sports. We always get the best guests, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Steph Curry. I mean, we live for this. Best guests in all of sports talk radio, best callers. It airs every weekday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. You can also listen to the radio show on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Adam Schein, not telling you to wager on football, but here we go.
Oh, I can't wait for Championship Sunday, and we are fired up for the picks against the spread. Mikey Fitz went 4-0 last week. Mikey Fitz is 141, 116, and 7. Bob Stew and I each went 2-2. I have to say, I felt like $1 million on my Houston will cover pick, but then Bill O'Brien with the single worst call I've ever seen in the history of postseason football. 24-7, you got to fake a damn punt in deep in your own territory. When the Chiefs win a championship and they have a parade, they should give Bill O'Brien his own floats at the championship parade. That was mind-numbing. And, of course, my guy Patty Mahomes was able to take advantage. All right, Bob, what is the line we are using for Tennessee and Kansas City on Championship Sunday?
It's funny, not to make you feel worse, you were actually up 34-0 at one point with that Texans line.
Yeah, you're right.
34-0.
Oh, you're so making me feel worse.
Bill O'Brien blew a 34-point lead for you.
Not to make you feel worse, but here you go. I now officially feel worse.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Bob.
Just jabbing you a little bit because I'm clinging on for dear life, trying not to go under 500.
Bob is 129, 128, and 7.
Talk about consistency.
Normally, I'd brag about my record, 135, 122, and 7, even though somehow I have 5 more wins on television. But, you know, Mikey Fitz with that 141 win total, that's pretty damn great.
It's funny, before we even came down here, Mike reminded me to print out the picks records. Just reminded me.
Oh.
He goes, yeah, here are the records.
You don't need anyone else to tell you how great you are. You'll tell the world how great you are.
It's not every week you go undefeated, so I'll take it.
You'll take it. It's also not every week you're going to tape the Adam Schein podcast and you're running to John Sterling, the voice of the New York Yankees.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's right outside the studio right now.
Just came right up to
us. Came up, big fan of the show. I was like, that's my guy. Live for John Sterling.
He wants to see the
studio.
As a
diehard Yankee fan. Yeah, I just gave him a tour.
Tour.
I was standing in the studio where he's like, Adam, I'd like to see the studio where you do the radio show.
Hey, I think you were the most unlikely tour guide at SiriusXM.
It was
all of a
great.
Sudden, you're just walking John Sterling from studio to studio.
I walk him in, yeah, as he wanted to see Dog, just finished his TV show. I found a John Sterling over there. Adam Schein was nice enough to walk me over to you. I mean, it's just like right out of Central Casting. It was a movie.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when you're taping the Adam Schein podcast. We digress. So the line, of course, right now, Kansas City. They opened up at 9.5. It dropped immediately. The Kansas
It opened
City
up at 9.5?
It opened up for a split second.
I didn't even see that.
It got bet down at every sports book immediately.
Immediately.
Currently, right now, the consensus is the Kansas City Chiefs, they're favored by 7.5 at home against the Titans.
7.5?
7.5.
I'll tell you right now, and this is not because I'm so obsessed with the interview we did with Evans. And you heard me say this on radio on Monday. You know I'm taking Kansas City to win. I've been screaming Kansas City's winning a championship all year. Never wavered. I think Tennessee's going to hang. I would be stunned if the moment is too big for Tennessee. That defense is legit. The run game is off the charts. Ryan Tannehill. Look, He has protected the ball brilliantly. He's made gigantic throws, even though he's not throwing a ton in the postseason. I'm going first on this one. I'm grabbing the points with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I'm going to grab the Chiefs here. I'm going to lay the points, lay the 7.5. I just think the Chiefs have so much firepower on offense that they're going to be able to jump out to a lead that may force Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball more than the Titans want him to. I know Henry, he'll have success on the ground. The Chiefs' run defense isn't that good. But I just see them jumping out to maybe like a 14-3 lead, 17-3, 17-7, something like that, and them having to put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands, make him make plays. I see the Chiefs win this game by 10.
Yeah, Mike makes a ton of great points. Actually, in favor of both, if the Chiefs get out to a lead, the Titans are finished. That's the key in
Tennessee
this game.
Tennessee can't play from behind.
No, they can't play from behind. But at the same point, Mike even brought up the Chiefs' run defense isn't great. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Henry. Now, another thing that concerns me, Tannehill's thrown 15 total passes in the postseason. He has 160 total yards. You have to force Ryan Tannehill to make some big plays in this game if you're Kansas City. The guy's completed 15 passes in 2 victories. That's unheard of. I've never heard of anything like that. I am leaning on the Titans, though. I just feel like the Chiefs' defense is not going to be able to stop Henry. I don't want to miss the boat on this again. 7.5 is just enough. I think Tennessee will be in the game. I think the Chiefs will win too, Adam. But, yeah, I'm going to take the Titans getting the 7.5.
And the minute I made the pick of Baltimore, which you heard me say last week was the toughest one to pick, I regretted it. You know, because you had to figure Tennessee was strong enough to hang. So I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. And I do think they have a great matchup with Derrick Henry running the football on the road in Kansas City. Though, again, I want to stress, I have Kansas City winning, and they're going to beat everyone the rest of the season. I said they wouldn't lose. I said on Thanksgiving, they're not going to lose again. And they haven't lost again. All right, what do we have for Championship Sunday, Bob, in the NFC?
Well, it's the exact same spread as in the AFC. The home favorite, that is the San Francisco 49ers. They are currently 7.5-point home favorites taking on the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I like the Packers here with the points. I think the Niners are going to win probably by 3 or 4. I just think that they're going to have so much success running the ball against the Packers defense. The Packers defense also isn't good against play action. The 49ers really know how to utilize that with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays, designing the plays.
He's so good.
I know Rodgers, he'll have some success. It's hard to shut down Aaron Rodgers completely, but I just see the 49ers making enough plays, but the Packers hang tight. I'll take the Packers with the points.
I couldn't have been more impressed with the Niners of all the teams that played in the postseason. To me, it was the best postseason performance. I mean, we barely touched on the Niners' victory over the Vikings. I mean, it wasn't the monologue for you, Adam, on radio.
Barely.
But we barely talked because they crushed them. They made,
as expected, they, by the way.
Yeah, but it wasn't even a game. The game was over third quarter.
Did you take the Vikings last week?
No, I never.
No.
We never
no.
take the Vikings? No. The Vikings?
Well,
San
I mean,
Francisco.
I've seen your picks this year, but it was not that, Chris.
Yeah, I guess I have to defend it with the record. San Francisco is easily the most complete team left in the playoffs. And the defense is healthy at the right time. You saw D Ford. He made an impact on that game. Quan Alexander being back is huge. I know what Matt LaFleur has said to his team. We're going to watch all the film of the horrible first loss. We're going to make sure we're more buttoned up, and that's not going to happen again. I don't think it's going to matter. I just think San Francisco is that much better than Green Bay. I think the Niners are going to win the game by at least 10 points.
I'm taking the Packers. I'm taking the Packers to win the game. You remember my preseason Super Bowl pick? It was Kansas City over Green Bay. Now, we saw these teams in the regular season, and it was a hot mess for the Packers. If I say anything else, I'm not doing my job. I mean, the Packers got smoked. And, you know, in a lot of ways, San Francisco is better. I mean, they're healthier now on defense. Jimmy G has a playoff game underneath his belt. He's experienced. That, to me, was a big deal. Green Bay is so good. Green Bay is balanced. Adarius Smith is fantastic. Preston Smith came up big. You know, I expect Aaron Jones to run the ball better than he did either A, last week against Seattle, or what he did against San Francisco the first time. You know, I keep going back to the clip of Aaron Rodgers when the Bay Area native was drafted by the Packers and the Niners took Alex Smith, and he was asked if, you know, at the end of the day, his reaction, and, you know, what would he say to the fans, you know, and he said, I feel bad for the Niners. I feel sorry for them. They're going to be made to feel sorry for passing up on me in the draft. Remember, he fell all the way down to Green Bay and the Brett Favre nonsense. Aaron Rodgers, I told you, don't disrespect him. I told you, he's still playing at elite level. I don't care what he does for your fantasy team. You know, the only word to describe what he did last week was great. He was absolutely positively great. And I think we're going to get more great stuff. And how great would that be for the league? You know, year 100, NFL 100, and the Chiefs and the Packers? Look, I think that game is a legit flip of the coin. I've been saying, you know, I'll die on the vine of the Niners, and that'll end for me on Championship Sunday. I think that they're so great. Bosa being is my pick for Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was amazing against the Vikings. Richard Sherman's playing at an elite level still. They can run the ball with authority. Kyle's great. I just believe it's the Packers' time to shine, and I am rolling here with the Packers to win outright in an upset special.
Here's what's on Shine's mind.
Thank you for listening to another incredible episode of the Adam Shine Podcast. Rashawn Evans, incredible. Bob Stew, incredible. Mikey Fitz, incredible. Thanks to our listeners on SiriusXM On Demand, our listeners on Pandora, our listeners on Apple, and of course with Stitcher. Hit the subscribe button, leave a review, because you love the Adam Shine Podcast, and we love it when you review the Adam Shine Podcast. And also, if I could be frank, we love you. You can also catch me every weekday on my SiriusXM radio show, Shine on Sports, which airs 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. We interact with you. We take your outstanding telephone calls, have the best guests. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Shine. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.
This is the Adam Shine Podcast. Touchdown! For more from Adam Shine, listen to Shine on Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, SiriusXM 82.